March is Women's History Month here in the United States. It's a month during which we celebrate the vital contributions women have made to history and society, and recognize the specific achievements women have made in a variety of fields: medicine, politics, civil rights, the arts, and of course, murder. Fireside Mystery Theater is proud to share with you our very first true crime series. It's all about women having it all: a career, a family, a backyard overflowing with rotting corpses. This is the second episode in our series and part one of a very curious pitch-black story about a widow, her love-struck suitor, and a town that just wouldn't listen. The murder of Belle Gunness was recorded live in New York City on February 23rd, 2020.
Evil. It lives within us all. How many of us have felt our hot tempers rise, our blood boiling, our fists clenched in the rage of a moment of sublime darkness? How delicious would it be to snuff out that buzzing fly, that screeching bird outside the window, that man who tells us to smile because we look so pretty when we smile. Come on, pretty, pretty. Give us a smile. I'm not your monkey, and my face isn't here to entertain you, jerk man. So what stops us? Fear? Love? Guilt? Who can say? Perhaps tonight we'll find out. My dearest friends, this evening we shall meet a coven of real-life killers pulled from the pages of history, all of whom have one thing in common. They are cruel. They are calculating. Some may say they are rotten to the core. And of course,
they're all of the fairer sex.
Coincidence! Or is it? Does the gentle countenance draped upon gender create a smokescreen of kindness? A veil of vulnerability? A mask of maternal goodness? Think of how much wickedness could be hiding in plain sight once you consider that purity is not purely an aspect of femininity. Allow me one example. A text most hallowed for its recounting of certain witch hunts, allegorical and otherwise. In Salem, our Arthur Miller tells the tale of those hysterical girls decrying their neighbors under the influence of witchcraft. They scream.
She comes to me every night to go and drink blood.
He wake me every night. His eyes were like coals, and his fingers claw my neck.
And I saw Goody Bibber with the devil.
And where does the blame fall in this tale? Squarely on the Reverend Hale, the justice system, the men who allowed it to happen. But why not the girls? The sociopathic creatures who decried their friends and neighbors, watching them hang one after another. Giles Corey screamed,
"More weight!"
as he was crushed to death, and never once did Abigail think to say,
"I was just getting around."
Why are the Salem witch trials not hailed as the worst tale of adolescent mass murder in our nation's history? Why label them hysterical girls when they should have been labeled as sociopathic villains? And are there more demons in disguise? Is there one next to you right now? Perhaps. But what can you do? I suppose you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy our evening of killer queens, all based on the stories of real life, flesh and blood-soaked women, including one particular lady by the name of Belle Gunness.
Ah,
woman, keep them drawers on.
Daisy, I need to see Sheriff Smutzer right now. They told me he was out at your farm, and it is an absolute emergency.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Belle. Sheriff's out back in the barn investigating the cows and whatnot. Let me pour you a drink, and we can catch up while you wait. Oh, there we go. A big, tall whiskey for a big, tall lady. I hope you don't mind my saying that to your face. But I suppose you know your own dimensions on account of you're such a big un. You hungry? Nah, usually I'd have Abigail or a little hired gal fix you up some fresh ham slabs on the hard toast. But after this morning, she took one look in the barn and ooh my, she run right off like a shooting star. Just there she go. Look at me, no hospitality. Let me get you a drink.
I'd love to. I try not to imbibe more than a pint before breakfast. Listen, I gotta see the sheriff right away. Do you think he'll be much longer?
I can't say. All I know is that there's a lot of blood out in that barn. A lot of blood. Blood like a river.
Well, I raise hogs, so blood don't scare me. If you don't mind, I'm going to head out there. You take care, Daisy. Maybe pour yourself a drink. Relax some.
Don't mind if I do, Belle Gunness. Do not mind if I do.
You all right there, deputy?
Yeah. I just saw the rest of this morning's corn cakes and some of last night's chucking beans. Just got about nothing left to come up.
Well, good, because there's a pile of intestines over here I think you should get a look at.
Oh, Lordy Jesus. Why on earth would anyone do this?
Maybe they got a strong dislike for cattle.
Oh, step back, ma'am. This is a crime scene.
I will not step back. I have urgent business to discuss with you, Sheriff. And I am tired of waiting in your office, by which I mean the tavern down on 6th and 9th Street.
Well, it is always a pleasure to see you, Widow Guinness. Might I say you are looking mighty handsome this morning.
Wipe your face, Deputy Cobb. You got sick all over it. What in the hell happened here?
Yeah, looks like some deranged madman went on a big old dairy cow murder spree. Took himself a meat cleaver and just went to town on poor Stanley Littlefield's prize herd.
Crying shame, too. These here heifers were Stan's pride and joy.
So clearly I do not have time to hear your complaint. I am in the middle of tracking down a mass murderer of cattle before he strikes again.
Well, I am here to inform you of threats against my life and the lives of my three sweet, innocent children.
Very well, but be quick with it. We gotta linger here any longer. My deputy there is gonna start up chucking my lunch.
Well, I'd like to lodge a formal complaint against Mr. Ray Lamphere.
Don't he work on your farm?
And follow you around like a little puppy all day?
Yeah, until I fired him. And ever since, he comes around my farm near every night, howls like a wolf outside my bedroom window, and swears he will burn my home to the ground with me inside.
Now I do have to ask you this, Ms. Gunness. When he howls at your window, do you howl back?
Of course I do. I scream, go on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And what might I ask would you be wearing when you lean out your bedroom window and call to him in the dead of night?
My bedclothes? What do you wear to bed, Sheriff? Overalls and a straw hat.
So let me get this straight. You come to the window in your evening bedtime attire and converse with a gentleman who everyone in town knows has desire on you. And even after you tell him to go, he still comes back to call. Do you think there's maybe something you could be doing that's keeping this gentleman's affections alive?
Affections? He says he's gonna kill me. I want him arrested right away.
Oh, calm down. Let's not get hysterical. Listen, as soon as I get back to the station, I will send someone around to talk to Ray Lamphere and get his side of the story. Unless, hold on one second. Do you think Ray Lamphere may be in such a murderous state that he might exact his desires out upon these innocent dairy cows? Deputy Cobb, I think we may have a lead.
Oh, please. These cows got nothing to do with Ray. What you need to do is go back and talk to Mrs. Daisy Littlefield before she gets too cockeyed to converse.
Oh, we already talked to her husband and got ourselves a full account. What's Daisy gonna tell us that he ain't?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she'll let slip that her Stanley's been carrying on with that Abigail, their young hired girl. Seems to me, if you don't have any cows to milk, you certainly don't require a milking maid, do you?
Now that's just ridiculous female fantasy. Where's your hard proof? Oh,
well, maybe you ain't a farming man, Sheriff, but no amount of whiskey is going to cover up the smell of blood wafting off that woman. Also, there's a couple bloody cleavers soaking in her back sink.
Is there? Well, we saw that. All right, now you can consider your complaint lodged. Go on home and just be sure to lock up at night. And if Mr. Lamphere comes to call, try to resist the urge to holler back.
Unless that agitates him further. Then do not excite his rage by ignoring him.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that sound advice.
You're welcome.
Goodness. Hey there. Oh, am I glad to be under a warm roof. Thought that wind out there might just blow me on back to Kansas.
Welcome to Chicago. We call that wind the hawk.
Oh, well, I will take a room for the night. Nothing fancy, but I do require a full soaking tub on account of my gout. Ooh, am I famished? Y'all serve dinner in the room, or do I take my supper down here?
Oh, no. We don't got room service no more. Cuss of the rats. Or no. Hold on. Hey, Tilly, did we get rid of our room service because of the rats or the roaches?
Both, but mostly because Tilly is old lady now. Can't walk up and down stair all night.
I still do room service.
That's Ruby. She is prostitute.
Oh, yeah. And she's real reasonable for what you get. I'm Stash, by the way. That's Tilly. She owns the joint. Used to be her husband's, but he died.
Well, I go by the name of Big Long Townsend. My card.
Lone Townsend of Townsend Stables.
A horse in your stable as soon as I am able. That is very clever.
Why, thank you. Wrote it myself. It is a pleasure to meet you all. And no thank you, Miss Ruby. Big Lone will not be requiring any services in my room this evening, as I am engaged to be married. Or I will soon be after tomorrow when I rescue my sweet damsel in distress, save her life, and offer her my hand and every other part of me in holy matrimony.
Sounds like big day. Kitchen close in 10 minutes.
Well, then I will take a beefsteak double raw, some boneless bacon, a smoked cow tongue, some ham and beans, and a few of them chopped radishes. Big Long's got to watch his figure.
We have stew.
A stew, then. I'll make it a double.
Stash, watch bar while Tilly make horseman stew.
Okay, I'm only gonna say this once. Do not eat the stew.
Definitely don't, because we used to have a possum problem, and then suddenly, there was a lot of stew.
That's not, okay. People think she might, what I'm trying to say.
Big Lone has no idea what you're trying to say.
You know, she used to have a husband problem, and now there's a lot of stew.
You think she put her husband in the stew?
No, stew is possum. Stash, if I killed husband, I would not have put it in stew. The man did not take shower. Smelled very bad.
Oh, yeah, he was real unclean. Big Lone, if you don't mind me asking, you look like you got a bit of folding cash on you. Why didn't you book a room in one of the nicer hotels? No offense, Tilly.
None taken. This place is dump.
Well, I needed to find accommodations quickly, and your establishment is only a stone's throw from the train station. Bing Long has got to be on the first train to La Porte, Indiana in the a.m. tomorrow. I need to save my true love. Oh, Lord, yes. And the only wish it could be sooner, because time is a ticking. I must say, I know I'm putting on a good show, but Big Long's stomach is just a big barrel of snakes rolling around and striking at another. Oh, Lord!
That could be the stew.
The stew is
quite disgusting, but I can assure you this here cobra belly is a pre-existing condition.
What do you need to save her from, Big Lon?
Is it the loneliness?
Yes, but also no. There's a gentleman, a former employee, who has issued some threats upon her life. And I mean to sweep up and sweep in on my white horse, which I'm having shipped down there separately, and put that young man right in his place.
Whoa, you're gonna give him the old 1-2 punch, eh?
You gonna knock his black off?
Strangle a man until light leave his eyes?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. But I hope it does not come to that. I know you may find it unmasculine of me, but Big Lon is more of the loving man than a fighting fella. Just the thought of laying hands on another in anger, well, is just not who Big Lon Townsend is.
There are many ways to kill a man without touching him at all. Let me get something from kitchen.
No. If Big Lon has to kill a man, he'll do it the Christian way, with his own hands. But I do not want to. No, I do not.
If you don't mind me asking, and I'm so sorry if I'm intruding, but how did you come to know this damsel in distress?
Oh, it's quite a modern-day love story. You know the matrimonial column in the newspapers?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Stash reads them every week. They yeah. are his favorite yeah. part.
Ah, mine as well. So, one morning, there I was, just swapping through the papers, reading all about the eligible lady folks and fantasizing about my wedding day. And let's just say, one ad in particular really caught my fancy.
Comely widow who owns a large farm in one of the finest districts in LaPorte County, Indiana, desires to make the acquaintance of a gentleman equally well-provided with the view of joining fortunes. No replies by letter considered unless sender is willing to follow answer with personal visit. Triflers need not apply.
And Big Lon Townsend is no trifler. So I wrote her a witty inquiry as swiftly as my hand could pen.
And what did she write back?
Only that she was moved beyond words. I know, because it took her 11 pages to describe it to me. And then, well, allow me to read you a short excerpt.
Dear friend, how lonesome it must seem for you to be out there all alone. But we shall be so happy once you get here. Then I will make a cream pudding and many other good things.
Ooh, it was like the woman just reached directly into my heart and gave it a squeeze. As we continued to correspond, it was though she peeled back the curtain and revealed to me the naked folds of her very soul.
Dearest friend in the world, this is a secret between us and no one else. We will have many things between us, which we will enjoy, won't we? I will surely see to it that you will enjoy yourself.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah. And this here part's my favorite.
My dearest Lon, I have now thrown away all the other replies. I place you higher in my affections than anyone on this earth and will remain true until you come. Your ever-loving, Belle.
Oh my gosh, you made Tilly tear up.
Yes, because I hate love story. Very boring.
Well, I'm crying because I'm so happy for you.
Will, you're all making me cry because you're crying. I do love her so. Which is why just the thought of having to wait here in purgatory while my angel is in peril. Will y'all join me in prayer?
Oh, for sure.
Dear God, this is Big Lon Townsend of Townsend Stables. You may remember me from previous prayers at the horse racing track, which you did not fulfill. But I assure you, there are no hard feelings. However, I currently find myself in a great deal of distress. I beg of you, dear Lord God, to protect the helpless life of my lady friend, Belle. She is all alone in the world, just like Big Lon Townsend. And I pray that you do not let anything happen to her, pure and good soul, so that we may be together forever and ever. Amen. Sincerely, Lon Townsend of Townsend Stables.
Well, damn it, Big Lon. Now you really got my waterworks going. Look, there is a way I can help you get down to La Porte tonight, but it ain't gonna be nice.
I will do anything. I'll ride in the belly of a whale if it gets me to my bell.
I know a guy who works on a freighter train, and if you don't mind smelling a hobos, I think we can get you down to Indiana by sundown. But we gotta leave now.
Oh, good sweet Lord, let us be gone.
My dear friends, as I've mentioned before, I am a lover and longtime subscriber to Audible. And if you like what we do, you will love Audible. They are the leading provider of audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. Get ready to enjoy thousands of titles, from the latest bestsellers and celebrity memoirs to classic literature and self-improvement. And of course, Audible is more than just audiobooks. They also have podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals that you won't find anywhere else. Just like Fireside Mystery Theater, Audible is ready to get into your ears and satisfy all of your socially distanced entertainment needs. As a member, I get one credit every month for any title that tickles my fancy, two Audible originals from a curated monthly collection, and access to daily news digests from trusted sources including the New York Times and the Washington Post. Side note, they also have guided meditation programs, which I am definitely going to check out during this time of collective high anxiety. You can download titles from Audible and listen offline anytime, anywhere, and across any device. And spoiler alert, our fabulous fireside fiend, Casey LaForest, dove into some seriously disturbing research for our two-part Belle Gunness story. Hell's Princess by Harold Schechter, narrated by Malcolm Hilgartner. It was well-researched, gruesomely detailed, and delivered with stunningly soothing narration. So, if the totally insane but wildly true story of Belle Gunness intrigues you, the appropriately named Hell's Princess is highly recommended. Treat yourself to a free trial on us. Visit audible.com/fireside or text fireside to 500-500. Again, that's audible.com/fireside or text fireside to 500-500. Now let's get back to the murder of Belle Gunness.
Myrtle, quit your crying. My aim is that we have at least one final evening of love and fellowship together as a family.
Are you gonna die, Mama?
Afraid so, darling. No one is coming to stop the bad man. No one at all. Myrtle, why don't you go see who it is?
But Mama, what if it's the bad man?
Then beg for your life and the life of your mother. Perhaps he will take mercy on a child, though likely not.
All right. I'll do my best. Please don't murder my mama! Oh, hi, Mr. Maxon.
Evening, Myrtle. Powerful lungs you got on you.
It's only Mr. Maxon. He's not gonna hurt us, is he?
What took you so long, Joe? Did you find any more disturbances on your search?
No, ma'am, no disturbances. I did find that Ray Lanfair standing out there just like you said. He was trying to get a look in the window, but he was just standing there. Wasn't causing no trouble.
I told you to run that man off my land and get the sheriff. That is the entire reason I hired you.
Well, that's what I did. I found Mr. Ray and I told him to move along, so he did. I already called the sheriff, but he said not to come by again unless some kind of crime take place. And standing there ain't a crime.
Is he gone or not?
I'm telling you, I told him to go, and he said he was fixing to.
And ma'am, that man looked to be crying, and I didn't think him a threat.
Joe, you are going to see me slain tonight before your very eyes, mark my words.
No, ma'am. I will not let that happen. I am not just a farmhand, I am also a man. And therefore, I am bound to protect you, and so I shall. Is that beefsteak I smell? Ooh, it's my favorite.
Yes, it is. And baked potatoes as well. Jellied pork fat and baked salmon and all the trimmings. Ooh. I wanted to make a nice meal for my little ones, seeing as it may be their last. Come on, children, let's get to dinner before it gets cold.
You want another pair of hands there, Belle? Hey, where'd that hire girl was supposed to be here today?
Oh, she never showed up. That's the last time I hire me an Irish.
Looks delicious, Mama.
Don't mind if I dig right in.
Hold on. Let us not forget to say grace. Oh. Bow your heads, and I will lead us in prayer. God, who art in heaven, please look after my sweet babies, Myrtle, Lucy, and dear little Philip. Dear Lord, I do not want to leave them, but if that is your will, I ask that you allow them to walk in your heavenly light and enfold them in the wings of angels. I do love them, Lord. I do love them so.
Can we eat now?
No! And I also pray that you watch over my farmhand, Joe Maxson.
Hey, that's me.
He's a simple boy, but pure of heart. Please grant him peace in the knowledge that if I die tonight, it is not his fault, even though I did give him one very specific task in regard to Ray Lamphere, the mentally unhinged, bloodthirsty maniac who he allowed to peer into my window and who is likely still out there standing in the dark, hellfire blazing within his hollow, fiendish eyes. Also, thank you for this delicious meal. In his name we pray. Amen.
Oh, my. This wind is terrible.
Yeah, we call that wind...
The hawk. Yeah. Of course. I have been in your city for just over a week, and I have heard this many times. Are you the proprietor of this... what would you call this?
Rat infest dump.
Aw, come, Tilly, it ain't that bad.
That is Ruby. She is prostitute. You want room?
Definitely not. My name is Asler Helgelian, and I am looking for my brother. Did a man named Andrew Helgelian ever stay here? I have a photograph.
Ooh, look at that coat. Isn't that different? What kind of fur is that, wolf?
Mink. Have you seen him?
He looks pretty fancy. To be honest, I don't think he'd stay at a rat-infested dump.
Tilly is old and memory not so good. I can look in records, but it take a while to go up and downstairs. Sit, order drink. We have stew.
Here, to help your memory.
Tilly, remember now.
Hey, if you've got another $2, I'd be happy to help you forget whatever Tilly's about to say.
No one in big animal fur coat stay here. No Andrew Helgelian.
Of course, I did not think so. Thank you for your trouble.
Oh, no. Oh, gee. Hey, I'm sure he'll turn up. A lot of guys I know disappear, but once the money runs out or the drink wears off, they come right back.
Not Andrew. He is not only my brother, he is my closest friend. And I thought we kept nothing from each other. Only recently did I learn I was mistaken. And now I fear that he is... I'm afraid that he has...
You think he did?
Oh, let me get you a whiskey on the house.
What was he keeping from you? Did he have a secret life of crime?
Boss, he had a secret romance. When I searched his farm, I found everything of worth was gone. His bank account empty, and then I found the letters. Intimate letters filled with vows of love. I have been studying them. This is only a few, hundreds. And many of them are carnal in nature.
Ooh, what did they say?
Come on, Ruby, look at the guy. He don't want to read his brother's dirty letters.
Here is one of the most filthy.
Dearest friend in the world, this is a secret between us and no one else. We will have many things between us which we will enjoy. I will surely see to it that you will enjoy yourself.
Well, I can tell by the looks on your faces that you are most offended. I will stop.
No, go on.
What do you think happened to brother?
Andrew was a very lonely man, rich, but quite lonely. I believe he answered an advertisement in the local newspaper, began a literary liaison with a wealthy widow, and that she lured him to her farm in LaPorte, Indiana, where she then murdered him. Oh, here's a letter that is very unsettling.
Come alone. Do not take anyone from up there with you before we become a little acquainted. Do you not think that would be best if we were alone, especially at the beginning?
Hold on. Let me see that one right there.
Well, this one is not as interesting. I found many of them speak explicitly about bringing money, arriving alone, and telling no one.
But will you read that one right there, though?
All right.
My dearest Andrew, I have now thrown away all the other replies. I place you higher in my affections than anyone on this earth, and will remain true until you come.
And then what does it say?
Nothing really, just...
Your ever-loving Belle.
You guys! That's Big Lon's lady friend!
Oh, poor Mr. Big Lon. Oh, into spiderweb.
Who is Big Lon?
A horse dealer. Here is card.
Lon Townsend was the sweetest and kindest man I ever met. He came in here completely besotted with this lady who wrote him letters just like that, and he was rushing to her side because there was some kind of threat against her life. Oh, no. What if I sent him right into the arms of a lady murderer?
And you may have. I had been writing to her myself, demanding information about Andrew. She told me that Andrew visited her farm, then left for Chicago with plans to return to Norway, which is ridiculous. Andrew hated Norway. And then she requested compensation for her assistance in my search. I told her if anything happened to my brother, I would investigate and expose her.
She did think somebody was out to get her.
Perhaps she knew what I suspected. And I must give up the hope that Andrew lives.
Yes, he is probably dead. But to my eyes, Stash, if a man was trying to kill lady friend, maybe Big Lon get lucky, and she dead before he arrived.
There is only one way to find out. I have got to get to LaPorte as quickly as possible.
I know a guy.
Excuse me, sir, but I was told this is where I could find Sheriff Schmutzer.
Yes, sir, but if this is police business, he told me not to tell anyone where it was on account of he's real drunk.
God damn it, Joe Maxim, what did I tell you?
Sheriff, I need to report a murder.
What in the hell? Oh, this town's gone straight to the devil. Hey, Cobb! Let's get to getting.
We must go immediately to the farm of Belle Gunness.
Oh, well, in that case, never mind. We already know all about that.
Oh, I'm too late. Have you identified the bodies? How many were there?
Well, there were four, of course. Who are you?
Four? Oh, my goodness. I am Asla Helgelian, and I believe that one of the slain could be my brother, Andrew. He has been missing for several months.
I think you are gravely mistaken.
I do not think I am. There was another man headed to her farm as well. Lon Townsend. Here is his card.
Oh. And you think Big Lon is dead?
Yes, it is possible.
Well, why don't we find out? Hey, Big Lon, you dead?
Whoa!
though I am certainly not dead, though my sadness is such at times, I wish I was.
You are alive. I am so glad. But the bodies?
Are those of Bale Gunness and her three innocent children?
My lady love was butchered in her sleep, and her home was burned up to kingdom come. If only I'd gotten here sooner.
You are very lucky that you did not.
Excuse me, sir.
Easy now, Lon. Now be careful, stranger. This man is neck deep in mourning and also gin.
Please, just tell me this. Did Bale Gunness write you love letters?
Only the sweetest ones a man did ever receive.
Did they sound like this?
Dearest friend in the world, this is a secret between us and no one else. We will have many things between us which we will enjoy. I will surely see to it that you will enjoy yourself.
How the hell did you get a copy of my private love's letters?
This was written to my brother Andrew, and he is missing. And I believe that she may be responsible. And there could be others. More letters, more rich and lonely men.
You dare besmirch upon her memory? Say she was two-timing me with another?
What's your angle, stranger?
Why don't you shut your trap and get along?
I am just searching for the truth. You are not listening to me.
You are not listening to me. Now, I am not a fighting man, but if you will not stop speaking ill of my Bale, I will find the courage within. Oh, Lord, yes, I will.
I want to see evidence of her death, and I want a thorough investigation. To me, it is clear that Bale Gunness is a greedy, cold-hearted black widow spider.
Well, look at that, Big Lon. I knew you had it in you.
Oh, I am so sorry. My hand was not my own. It was almost as if I felt the powerful countenance of my Bale upon me. I am terribly sorry, sir, but you should have just stopped talking when I said so.
He can't hear you, Big Lon. I'm still breathing, though, so I don't need to arrest you.
I must say, now that my senses have returned to me, I do not like that his brother may have been entwined with Bale and come to a bad end. I do not like it at all.
Put it out of your mind. Bale Gunness was an honest woman and a loving mother. It's Ray Lamphere that's the cause of this.
And we will bring him to justice. We will protect that poor, sweet widow in death just as we could not protect her in life. Come on, Big Lon. You really think the widow Gunness is capable of some big old plot where she did harm upon some strong and able-bodied men? That seems preposterous to me.
And supposing it does, she was a loving mother after all. And I cannot imagine that the same hands that wrote such sweet words could be capable of such dark deeds. No, Big Lon cannot. And I raise this here glass to you, my dearest friend in the world, to my sweet Bale.
To Bale!
May her memory live on in the hearts of all men.
Four bodies were pulled from the wreckage of Bale Gunness's burned-out farmhouse. Three were the bodies of children. The fourth was the body of an adult female. But something rather important was missing: the head. Could there perhaps be more to the story of Bale Gunness than what Sheriff Smutzer believes? And where the devil is Andrew Helgellian? Don't worry, darlings. We'll give you all the gory details later on in Act Two. But first, a lethal little number performed by Fireside's resident chanteuse, the devastatingly devastating Ms. Martina Da Silva.
Low legates and
resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat, don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule, I'm irresistible, you fool. Give in. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat, don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule, I'm irresistible, you fool.
And that was The Murder of Belle Gunness. The cast featured in this episode include Rebecca Kopeck as Daisy Littlefield and Myrtle, James Reeser as Sheriff Smutzer, David Linton as Deputy Cobb, Eric Davey Gisleson as Big Lon Townsend, James Scully as Stash and Joe Maxson, Mary Murphy as Tilly, Casey LaForest as Ruby, James Kleinman as Osla Helgelian, and the part of Belle Gunness was played by me, Ali Silva. The song Whatever Lola Wants by Richard Adler and Jerry Ross was performed by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Nico Slater. The Murder of Belle Gunness was written by Liz Leiser and Casey LaForest and directed by Holly Payne Strange. Our live show and podcast are produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our musical score was improvised and performed by Nico Slater. Our sound effects design was led by Greg Russ, with Ricardo Delgado, Dan Naglia, and Ali Silva. Live show sound was engineered by Evan Sachs with Ricardo Delgado. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Our production manager is Liz Leiser. Jason Graves composed our theme music, and I manage our audio post-production. We, the motley crew that makes this Fireside Mystery Theater, dedicate as much as is humanly possible into creating our unique brand of audio entertainment. We do it because we love it, just as so many of you love listening. And this is just the kind of escape into the healing imagination that we need nowadays. We hope that if you are able, you would consider becoming a Patreon patron to throw some kindling onto our fires to help keep our creative loins a-burning. Your contribution through Patreon, $1, $2, $5 or more per month, can provide the vital lifeblood we need to keep doing this thing we do. We will have infinite thanks for you. Plus, we have some rewards that may tickle your fancy. We've got discounts on merch, postcards from Sunken Harbor, audio greetings from cast members, podcast shoutouts, a snazzy Fireside Mystery Theater enamel pin, and exclusive bonus content. And by bonus content, I mean the specially dedicated Patreon playlet. They are extra audio treats from each series that are released only on our exclusive private Patreon feed. Sometimes the playlets are companion pieces to episodes on our regular feed. Sometimes they are touching. Sometimes they are hilarious. But they are always exclusive and special for our patrons at the $5 or more per month level. From the series She's a Killer Queen, we've got a piece called My Name is Fire. If you want to hear FMT go all Game of Thrones, well, this will be a treat. Treat yourself and treat our ongoing endeavors by becoming an FMT Patreon patron today. Go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater or follow the link on our website. We are so grateful for any support you can give to help us keep the embers of our fireside flickering. Do we have you under our spell? Then become a subscriber on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever your favorite episodes live. Interested in seeing our next live podcast recording in New York City at a venue holding 50 people or more, perhaps with a group of 10 of your friends? So are we! However, while our live experience is pushed back due to the pandemic, we invite you to wash your hands and check back regularly at firesidemysterytheater.com for upcoming tickets and show dates. Stay tuned for La Maupin, Mistress of the Sword, a tale of singing maids and swinging blades, coming up next from Fireside Mystery Theater. Dearest friend in the world, what was the real secret Belle kept between her gentleman callers and no one else? Can you resist the siren song of the online search and wait for all to be revealed in our second installment of Belle's tale, The Interrogation of Ray Lamphere? We promise to unfurl her mystery with a delightfully curated cadence, as long as you promise to stay out of the darkest corners of the internet, where it will be impossible to mine the shadows.